Please rise out of respect for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Beginning with verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won one of your brothers over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Saturation. Saturation. What do you feel you've been saturated with recently? Totally saturated with. I know for many of us that took part in the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, we may feel we've been saturated with ice water. I know in my case, I allowed my granddaughter to pour this bucket of ice water over me, which she liked a little too much. And I was saturated from head to toe in ice water, just as I know many of you were as well. And we often associate saturation with water. But there's a multitude of ways that we can be saturated, a multitude of things that can saturate us. I think about an election season, which we're in right now, even though this one so far hasn't been as bad as some in the past. But during an election season, I feel saturated by phone calls from candidates, flyers in my mailbox, TV commercials. Every time I turn around, some seems like one of the candidates are either putting a flyer on my door or knocking on it. And I feel saturated during an election season, much the same way I do during the Christmas season, which we, of course, know as the Advent season, but the world calls it the Christian season, or the Christmas season, I'm sorry, where we're getting ads on TV, flyers in my mailbox. Over and over, I'm receiving these ads saying that this store or that store has the lowest prices in town. And I feel saturated during the Christmas season by all of these ads. So there's a multitude of ways to be saturated. I looked up the definition of saturation, and it said to be soaked. To be soaked and to be fully and thoroughly imbued and charged. Thoroughly, completely imbued and charged. Now, by now, you might be asking yourself, what does all this saturation talk have to do with any of the readings we heard this morning? Well, it was in the Romans reading, though as a modern-day congregation, modern-day Christians, we wouldn't have picked up on it. But the first century church would have. It was in the Romans reading, the very last verse that said, put on Christ. In this translation that we heard today, it said, clothe yourself in Christ. Other translations say, put on Christ. The first century church would have understood that to mean saturate yourself with Christ. Be soaked with Christ, thoroughly and completely imbued and charged with Christ. But I wonder, how many of us can say that we are saturated with Christ? And how many of us would say it's more likely that we're sprinkled with Christ? Both the gospel reading and the Romans reading for today come together to speak to the church and say, come together as a body of believers. Come together as a family of Christ. Come together as sisters and brothers and love one another. The readings address how to be in relationship with one another as children of God with all of our differences. How to love one another as we want to be loved. First, in the gospel lesson for today, Jesus says, if one of your brothers or sisters offends you, or if one of your brothers and sisters in Christ is involved in unrepentant sin, go to them, and did you catch it? Alone. Don't first go and tell everybody you run into what the person has done. Go to them alone. And not to point out their sinfulness, not to point out what they've done to you, but to go with a pure and loving heart, desiring only to reestablish a relationship, desiring only to find peace and resolution. If that doesn't work, then you take one or two other believers with you. If that doesn't work, you take it to the pastor. If that still doesn't work, if you can't find peace, find resolution in the relationship, then it says to treat them as a pagan or a tax collector. Some translations say treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, though we don't really like the tax man, it's not exactly the same. You see, there was a time back in the day when the tax collector collected their taxes for Rome. And then on top of what they collected for Rome, they could collect additional taxes that they put in their own pocket. It was their income. And many of the tax collectors were corrupt, so they collected far more than they were due. So they were considered an enemy of the people, a sinner. And yet here it says to treat them as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, reject them, shun them, put them out of the fellowship. Of course, the hope was that they would suffer so much discomfort being separated from the fellowship that they would repent and peace could be restored. Unity in the relationship could be restored and they could be brought back in alignment with God's word. That's a valid way, the way many of us have read this scripture in the past. But I think there's another way to look at it. I consider Jesus, who's the example for all of us. Jesus had a tax collector, Matthew, as one of his disciples. Jesus was in fellowship with, ate with, ministered to the pagan, the Gentile, and the tax collector. He sets an example for us that says, how can we influence someone if we separate ourselves from them? Jesus continued to minister to the tax collector and the Gentile. And I wonder if that's not the example he sets for us. How can we influence the person who has offended us? How can we find peace in the relationship? How can we maintain unity in the body of Christ if we reject the people who are sinners, like ourselves, and who have offended us? And then there's the Romans reading where the Apostle Paul says, love your neighbor as yourself. And in so doing, you fulfill the commandments. Aaron did a great job with the children of pointing out that the first three commandments address our relationship with God. The last seven address our relationship with one another. And when we are loving one another the way we want to be loved, then we're not going to murder one another, either in body or in spirit or reputation with our words. We're not going to covet what one another has. We won't lie about one another. We certainly would not commit adultery and hurt another person. So as we are loving one another as we want to be loved, we fulfill all the commandments and we maintain unity and peace in the body of Christ. We are in relationship with one another. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to say, throw off your deeds of darkness, and here it is, put on Christ. Put on Christ, be completely soaked, saturated, fully and thoroughly imbued and charged with Christ. Why? Because the more we are charged and imbued and soaked, saturated in Christ, the more likely it will be that we are able to maintain unity in the body of Christ. The more likely it is we will be able to love one another as we want to be loved. This brings me to the challenge for the day. The challenge for the church today is, let's not be satisfied with the sprinkling of Christ, but may we challenge ourselves to step up and desire saturation. The sprinkling of Christ occurs when the only time we give Christ is our 1 hour of worship every week. Worship is important. We are called to come together as a family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, to praise God, to thank Him for all He's done for us. We are called to come together in unity, peace, and love, and worship God. But the hour we spend here a week is only a sprinkling of Christ. It is not enough for us to reach saturation. That's accomplished when we spend time with Christ every day, fulfilling our baptismal promises, to be in the Word every day. Be in the Bible. The Bible is Christ. The Word is Christ. It is living. It is living water. Take it in, pour it on, drink it in until we are saturated. That can happen any way it works for you. Pick a chapter every day and read it. Get one of those programs that takes you through the Bible in a year. Find a devotional that speaks to you, but make sure it's one that takes you back into the Word. There are good devotionals, good sermons online. Our own sermons are on our webpage now. Every day, take in Christ. Be constantly in prayer. That just means talk to God all day long. Everywhere you go, everything you're doing, talk to God. All day long, pray and ask Him to increase your ability to love, to give you a greater capacity to love Him and to love one another. And then thirdly, every time the body and blood of Christ is offered, come to the table. Come to the table, receive the body and blood of Christ. There is something about the supernatural ability of God to change us little by little by little into the Christ-like people we were created to be, and that happens little by little every time we take in the body and blood of Christ. Don't be satisfied to just be sprinkled once a week with Christ. Challenge yourself to come up. May we challenge ourselves to step up and seek saturation, to be soaked, fully and thoroughly imbued and charged with Christ. Why is it so important? Because the more charged and imbued and saturated with Christ we are, the more likely it will be that we will maintain unity in the body of Christ, unity as a family of God, and then be able to go out these doors into the community, into the world, and fulfill the words of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. What an example of Christ-like love we will be. Because the truth is, who wants to come into a body of Christ? Who wants to join a church family where there is strife and fighting? That's the challenge. Here's the good news. Some of our brothers and sisters in the faith practice a tradition of full immersion baptism, where they are soaked, they are saturated in the waters. We practice, along with many of our brothers and sisters, more a sprinkling of water in our baptism. The end result is the same. It doesn't matter how much water. That water and the Word come together to make us members of God's holy family, saved from our sins, eternal life is our promise. It doesn't matter how much water. What matters is that we are children of God, united in Christ. And that last verse of the gospel reading, where two or three are gathered, I am there. Christ is here. Christ is among us. He is with us. And as we step up and desire saturation, He will make that possible. Right now, it seems, especially on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, there are all these challenges out there right now. There's a challenge to list your blessings every day, and of course the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge is out there, and there are some others as well. So I offer my own challenge today. May we as a congregation, as a family here at Grace, challenge ourselves to not be satisfied with a weekly one-hour sprinkling of Christ. But may we challenge ourselves to step up and seek saturation, to be saturated, fully charged and imbued with Christ. Please rise and join together for the hymn of the day, number 126.